So what's it going to be? Yay or nay?
Yeah, there's a lot to discuss today. So 0416 90 50 52 to let us know what you think, or you can give us a call, 1300 652 927. Our AFL editor, Mark Stevens, is on the line, and he was tuning into our interview earlier on with David Johnston, the journalist there at the Weekly Times, after the huge decision from the Ovens and Murray Football League to strip the Wangaratta Magpies of their premiership last year. Stevo, good afternoon to you. It's quite the bombshell.
Yeah, it certainly is. And David Johnston, he's like the Mike Sheehan of Ovens and Murray footy. I mean, he was covering footy when I was up in Shepparton, and he's still there doing it. And it's great to see Matty Stewart get some education there on the size of country footy. I know he was surprised at the 10,000 crowd, but it really is a big deal. And that's why these clubs sometimes go perhaps too far to try and jag a premiership, because it just embraces the whole town. And probably be the biggest country footy story I can recall, guys, this one getting a flag stripped.
Do you agree with my mate, who's very, very invested in this? I'll just repeat the text. The big issue, it's run by volunteers, and I know for a fact that the problem at Wangaratta was a simple bookkeeping issue, which happens at voluntary level. They self-reported and when they became aware. Is it necessary penalties, albeit for little housekeeping errors that are the result of the nature of the people who run some of these far-flung clubs?
Well, it's brutal, isn't it, really, when you think about it? It is volunteers, it's housekeeping, but I suppose 28,000 is a significant amount, isn't it? Or 25,000 on top of the 125, and some of the players not named who were paid. So, look, if they self-reported, you'd think a fine would be enough, but credit, it's a brave decision from the O&M board. I mean, there was a club in the Amateurs this year who lost the points for a similar administrative error. I mean, I know they're volunteers, but unless you're policing this and coming down with penalties, Matty, how do you deter it? That's the issue. I mean, we know they're volunteers and they probably mean well, but there has to be some sort of policing of it, and this will probably be a line in the sand now for all country footy clubs.
Well, you and I were talking about Glenorchy recently, and as Wazza from Yarrawonga, the caller who has umpired in this league, was saying, is it really important to rein this in, because it does keep the minnows in the game? Does it just make sure the disparity between the powerful and the struggling is narrowed as much as possible?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, growing up in Shepparton, the Goulburn Valley League was pretty even. I think most clubs had a crack at it. That sort of time their run. But you don't want the poor clubs, as you mentioned, they're dominating proceedings, you know, in the O&M. So I think it's a good thing, the salary cap, difficult to police. It's messy, obviously, and I know there's a lot of sleepless nights up there. This hasn't been an easy call by the board by any means. Just imagine, you know, how this has been received in Wangaratta. Obviously, the board of management's up in Albury, Wodonga. You know, it's a huge story and a tough call in a community, isn't it, to strip them? But at least they've had the joy of the moment, and Yarrawonga will probably be given the flag now. It won't feel the same, but extraordinary scenes, really, Matty. And how about the response? It just shows that country footy really resonates, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, Steve. That point that you make, though, is interesting. They got the moment last year. They won the premiership on the day. They got to experience what everyone
dreams
of.
How much did they win
by,
out of curiosity?
It was only a handful of points, I think, wasn't it, Steve?
Yeah, it was a couple of points. Yeah. And the other interesting thing is Ben Reid, who you wouldn't meet a nicer person. Much revered character at Collingwood, leadership group material, went up there, helped out. Now he's embroiled in this. What does it mean for Ben Reid? What's it mean for people at the footy club? So there's a lot more to come out. And as I've been messaging David Sinclair, he's happy to come on the chairman of the board up there of the O&M tomorrow morning. So maybe tune in for the latest then. He's basically been in charge of the board, who's made the very tough call to do this.
Yeah, that will be interesting. And I think back to the Melbourne Storm, Steve-O, when they were stripped of their premierships for their salary cap breaches, and what that does to the playing group and how they sort of react to that. And even years on, I know the Melbourne Storm players and coaching staff, they still act as though and they speak as though they won the premiership. They have premiership reunions. And I would be staggered if these Wangaratta players don't do a similar sort of thing, Steve-O, because it's not the players' fault. So I wonder how they're feeling right now.
Yeah, it can divide a club, and you think this will set the club back a long way. It's going to be tough for them to focus on next year. I'm interested in your footy experience, Matty, in the country. It's interesting how you're paid. You're paid per win. You're paid in an envelope. I mean, even seconds players get paid where I came from if they have a win. How did it work in your day? And what was the most you ever had in an envelope?
No, I know that it's different at a lot of different clubs, Steve-O. From the club that I played at, I don't think they get anywhere near the salary cap, to be honest. So it's all above board and it's via a bank transfer. But I do certainly know of people that I'm friends with that get paid in envelopes at home games. There's no doubt about it.
Probably by the main sponsor or something, wouldn't it? You know, some big florist department store or something might just siding off a player on the side.
I don't know. And I don't know whether that is even... Like, that might be on the books. They might be able to pay cash. I'm not sure. But I just know that the payments can be different depending on the club. And I'm probably not the right person to ask because each club would go about it differently. But I'm certain, 100% certain, that there are clubs out there in Victoria going over the salary cap with the way that they're playing, paying players, Steve-O. It's just the reality of country football at the moment. And I said to Matty Stewart earlier, I think the AFL's got to play a bigger role in fixing this up.
Well, how do you? I mean, it's hard to police everything. I mean, the AFL's got enough issues of its own.
Yeah, but it's grassroots footy, Steve-O.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, the AFL protects its own, but they can't put salary cap police in every competition. I know it's important, grassroots footy, and there should be more attention on it, but gee, it's a tough one to police. But you're dodging the question, Matty. What was the most you were ever paid for a game of footy?
Nah, it was probably too much, Steve-O. They probably wish they never had to send it across, to be honest. hey, Steve-O, will Nathan Broad get 4 weeks tonight at the tribunal?
Yeah, I reckon he will. If you look at the past history, Neil Bullen and there was another one like that at Port Adelaide. I reckon that'll be 4 weeks. So they'll make a statement there. Seems a bit severe, doesn't it, if you look at the bare numbers, but the incident was pretty poor. And, of course, the player was knocked out, his opponent. So I think we'll get 4 weeks. It's pretty predictable, the tribunal these days. There's parameters there. It'll either be 3 or 4. In the old days, you go in, it could be 8. But there's certain parameters they still stick to with the grading system.
Yeah, I think it's getting more significant, the penalties, obviously, with these incidents as the years go on. I don't think it was a sling tackle. I refer to it as a slam tackle, Steve-O. There was
velocity. Yeah, no, it wasn't a sling. It was a drive into the turf, a slam. You're right, a body slam, a head slam. So I think it'll be 4 weeks. I know he apologised, but you don't get a discount for that, unfortunately. So 4 weeks for the Tigers. And they've got other issues too. Dusty Martin, I reckon, won't play on Friday night. So he's Hopper's another one that's got a sore knee, and Jaden Short definitely out. They're three key players. So everything's falling beautifully for Collingwood. They're going that well, they can leave Ginnivan in the twos for a comeback game.
Hey, we were a bit busy before the show today, organising a few guests, so I didn't brief Matty Stewart properly on the Cool Your Jets segment, which we introduced last week, and I probably haven't given you enough time here, although you did allude to one yesterday. We're going to introduce this every week, Matty. Mm-hmm. It's called Cool Your Jets Tuesday, something that happened on a Monday where there was a big statement, which, you know, on reflection a day later, we might have just gone over the top with a little bit. Just an overreaction.
All right. Well, so, I'll throw in my Cool Your Jets. I'm not saying it won't be proved to be right, but I still love the opposition spokesman, racing spokesman in Tassie with the darkest day in Tassie sport. Let's just see how things play out. Because, Steve, the last darkest day in sport didn't quite turn out that way, really, did it?
No, that was a flop in the end. Remember, they got all the, I think, Dimitri,
Jason Clare, everybody. Jason Clare was the main minister, wasn't he?
Yeah, but wasn't there a little bit after, I think we really put some pressure on, wasn't there an inquiry announced about 3 o'clock yesterday after your exclusive interview with the opposition minister?
Yeah, and it was sort of rolling the arm over type stuff from the under pressure racing minister down there. So, hey, that hand grenade was supposed to be delivered in Parliament today down there. So, well, have we got a man in the Parliament House in Hobart today, Steve? Have we got one of our staffers down there? Is Hoss down there?
No, I think we've got a stringer.
Right.
Peter Staples has been reinstated for a one-off.
Yeah.
Hoss is going to lend him his equipment, the microphone.
You dial in on the tie line app. Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong?
Who's Cool Your Jets this week, Steve-O?
I think Collingwood. I know I hate to be a party pooper, but so much love for Collingwood. Geelong are a bit underdone. They overran them. Port were pretty poor. Collingwood great, but I'm just cooling my Jets on Collingwood a little bit. I know they're 2-0, but people talking about Harlem Globetrotters, they're already premiership favourite. I've just got a feeling there might be a reality check coming Friday night.
All right. Gee, I'm excited. I can't wait for round 3 in the footy already, Steve-O, which kicks off on Thursday night. Can your doggies bounce back this weekend?
Well, I think they'll bounce back, but whether they can win is going to be tough. I think it can take too long to... what is that?
That's a song that's going to be playing on Thursday, Steve-o.
Yeah, well, no, I think there are a chance for Dogs. As the game gets closer, I'm getting more confident.
So all right.
Things can turn in footy, boys. Yeah. But I think Sydney will beat Melbourne. How you go, that's a good bet.
Probably. They'll probably win the wooden spoon, Melbourne, I'd say now, Steve-o. Everyone's riding them off. They're on the way down. The dynasty's over. Anyway, we'll see what happens. It's a long, long year, as you know, and there's an extra game this year as well, so it's even that little bit longer. Steve, I love your work. We'll hear from you throughout the afternoon on RSN.
Cheers. Great work with the Country Footy Story, boys. Good questioning by both Maddies there.
Thank you, Steve-o.
Thanks, Stephen.
We will chat to, we'll hear from the chairman of the league in the morning. So just a reminder, everyone out there, that the chairman of the Ovens and Murray Footy League will be on with Daniel Harford in the morning, Matthew. A couple of racing topics before we go to the break, Matty, because there was a couple that I wanted to ask you about. Did you catch Daniel Moore's comments on Twitter in regards to Andrew Jones when he was on a little bit earlier? If you didn't,
no.
I can read it out to you.
Buckets, got a nice relationship with Buckets. He is a hand grenade chucker from time to time. Mm-hmm. What's he done?
I'll just have to pull it up. So we did a little video on social media for our followers, and Daniel Moore quote retweeted it. This is what he had to say. Understand from a stable staff point of view, but with wall-to-wall racing, night and day, what jockeys are going to be able to help out with track work and jump outs before races if we start later? So obviously that was in response to Andrew Jones suggesting that, you know, it's a huge issue how early we start.
And there's no easy fix, because for every nice notional idea of, yes, we should start later because what sort of idiot wants to get out of bed at 3 o'clock in the morning? And that's a totally reasonable position for Racing Victoria to have. But for every idea, there's a potential problem. And Daniel Moore has just outlined that with that issue of starting later, and then who rides the jump outs if you know, with races, and how do we fit everything in? And then we've got the whole issue of the general staff crisis. I think Michael asked Andrew Jones about the 457s, the visas for the overseas workers today. I actually missed that part, but we might even try and... things that can make these life a lot easier is if we can get the 457 visa issue sorted,
yep,
which has been in abeyance for about 5 or 6 years, where the skilled worker thing... You might remember a few years ago, every single second voice you heard in a racing stable was a foreign voice. You know, they were great for labour in racing stables. They've been cut off.
Yep.
So once that eases, a lot of the other problems will ease as well.
Yeah. I get what Andrew Jones was saying with night racing, Matty, and that, you know, there's, you know, football that gets played at night, and that's not the sole issue. But isn't it a cumulative effect of just how much participants are being worked, whether it's going to the races at night, getting up early, working all day? It's not just a one issue is the reason for everything situation. There's so many factors here that are combined, which lead to participants being overworked.
The footy fan and the racing fan, it's hard to compare in a way, because the causes of fatigue in the racing industry are not the causes of fatigue to an AFL player.
Mm.
They're all different. There's track work, you're working with horses and that. So to be solely guided on what the fan wants because of what's prime time on TV at night, which I'm not saying Racing Victoria is, but what I'm saying is they have the most delicate juggling act here, because they have to weigh up maximising revenue opportunities through... Of course you want to put it on when most people want to watch, but there's a unique consideration in horse racing, and that is life and death of jockeys, welfare of horses, welfare of staff, traditional starting time. So I don't envy Racing Victoria, because every move they make on this, there's going to be some element of it that's going to be wrong, and I don't think they can help that.
Last one before we go to the break. The championships in Sydney, Matty. Are they the grand final of Australian racing?
Well, they're the grand final mud fight most years. So I see Bruce McAvaney has called them that. But when they were... what happened was about 15 years ago, they created the championships to sort of do a bit like what Flemington's done with finals day, to consolidate Randwick as the grand final venue in Sydney, and... you know, to really make a big sell on the idea of these championship races, which they've done amazingly. You've seen the races that are at Randwick on Saturday.
Mm.
The only problem, as Peter Volandi's discovered, is that it never stops raining in autumn in Sydney. So hence his decision to focus a lot on the spring. to try and get better weather and clearer sport and all that sort of stuff. So in theory, they are the grand final of Australian racing, but it hasn't played out that way because it's always, usually always muddy. Mm. Sydney itself has changed focus to the other part of the year, and Australian, the Melbourne Spring Carnival will always be the grand final.
Great races, not necessarily a great spectacle. And I agree with you. If New South Wales Racing is investing so heavily in other areas of the calendar, well, that's telling me that they don't necessarily view the championships as the be-all and end-all.
They've virtually abandoned the championships.
Yeah, that's
like
right.
All the big prize money increases have come for pop-ups. The traditional mega races like the Doncaster and Sydney Cups and all that, that's been a much lesser impact of prize money.
If they themselves thought that this was the grand final of Australian racing, then the Everest would be this weekend or the TJ would be worth $15 million.
I'll tell you what is interesting, though, is that they have been able to attract the internationals that we haven't been able to.
That's true.
40 yep. years ago, they set up the BMW as an international race and they got some international runners. But now, with the less stringent vet checks going into Sydney than Melbourne, as you know, with the internationals, cut out of the track, which suits most internationals, not the Japanese. I think the Victorians are probably looking at Sydney now going, oh, God, you know, we had to play it tough with the imports, but we've left the avenue open for them to come through Canterbury Racecourse Quarantine, Mascot Airport, and we're getting these Joseph O'Briens and William Haggis is running it in Sydney.
We'll be on Weather Watch over the next couple of days. There's no doubt about that.